Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you're looking for tickets to the Chiefs game against the Titans, or really tickets to anything, the place to go, Tickets for Less.
That's right. TicketsForLess.com is a place to go. And I will say this, too. The tickets, you'll get the best seats at the best prices anywhere you want in the stadium. It depends on what your budget is, where you want to sit. But you'll get the best seats at the best prices. I would highly encourage you to check out their VIP tailgate tent passes as well. You've been to that party, Stephen?
Yes.
Free food, free drink. You don't have to deal with all of the planning of setting up your own tailgate and all that stuff. And it's right next to the stadium. It's in that parking lot right in between the two stadiums. So you're right there, and then you walk in, and you're ready to go for the game. So check that out as well. TicketsForLess.com. Look, it's going to be relatively warm compared to what it's been the last week and a half here in town. And the Chiefs are going to make history and win their first playoff game at home in about 24 years. So get your tickets at TicketsForLess.com.
We have an update on the Todd Haley saga that is taking place right now in Pittsburgh, former Chiefs head coach. First, it was reported by several sources that Todd Haley was injured in a scuffle New Year's Eve at Tequila Cowboy Bar and Grill, just a few minutes away from Heinz Field. And then a spokesperson for the police department said that, no, it was not Todd Haley. It was his wife, Christine, that was in a scuffle. And Todd Haley was not pushed or injured. But Todd Haley and his wife, Christine, were escorted out. No injuries, no charges. And now a website, I don't know if you're familiar with this, TerezOwens.com.
No.
Which provides some gossip and rumors around the sports world. Here's this latest report. Pittsburgh Steelers offensive coordinator Todd Haley had a messed up New Year's Eve. He and his wife were escorted out of a bar during a New Year's Eve scuffle, with Todd reportedly injuring his hip in the process. The Pittsburgh Police Department have confirmed that the police were called to the Tequila Cowboy restaurant just after midnight for a minor scuffle involving Haley's wife. The scuffle was quickly ended. Todd Haley, according to the police, was not involved nor injured. Todd and Christine Haley were escorted out with no injuries and no charges. But the drama continued outside the bar, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, who says Todd was shoved to the ground in a second altercation.
Ooh.
Therese Owen says, our sources are telling us the scuffle started over comments about some nude photos that surfaced online several years back featuring Todd Haley's wife. According to the source at TerezOwens.com, someone told her to put some clothes on and mentioned the nudes that are online. And then the scuffle happened, and why, you son of a... No. So, view of the...
Oh, hey.
What that?
Excuse are those me. Really hurt?
I don't know.
Let's go, Pens. Back in it now.
How do I know? How do I know who's what on this crazy thing we call the internet? I don't know. All I know is that former Chiefs head coach Todd Haley should not go back to Tequila Cowboy. That's how he's going to be treated on a New Year's Eve.
So if the boss comes by and sees me looking at these pictures right now, hey, this is work-related,
I don't know.
Boss.
What pictures? I'm not looking at this. I need this. Not that it matters, but it could be the Chiefs' next opponent after Tennessee if they win. It could happen. You could tell me there's no way Buffalo could beat Jacksonville? No, you know better than that. Anything could happen in the NFL. All right?
Jacksonville hasn't looked like any great shakes the last couple weeks.
Who knows what could happen? So this might indirectly have something to do with the Chiefs. After all, it's a former Chiefs head coach. I need to know. You know what? You need to be ahead of the game. What's going on in New England? What's going on with Pittsburgh?
So all it takes to get into a fight with Todd Haley and his wife at the bar is to make some comments about some apparent alleged nude photos?
Don't know. I just want to know if he injured his hip. and who started the scuffle. There's a lot of things I want to know.
I mean, he can still call plays with an injured hip, right?
Yeah, right. I just don't know.
Charlie Weiss was calling plays from a golf cart for, like, most of his career, wasn't he?
I'm just very curious, you know? It just seems like every day there's another layer.
It is. Well, it makes more sense. I mean, I can understand that. Talk about my wife and her nude photos. That's our business.
What'd you say?
Not yours. You know.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Well, it just seems like there's, I mean, first he was pushed down and injured. And then,
hey, don't be talking about my wife and her nude photos.
Hey, don't push me. Hey. I'll push you back.
Those photos are our business.
Whoa. Ow, hurt my hip. I'm going to get up and push you back now. Watch out.
I thought Curtis Siebel posed a very interesting question.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say Curtis Siebel posed some interesting pictures.
Hey, that'll start a bar fight.
What's going on here? Hey, Curtis, keep your clothes on, huh? You know what? I'll push someone down at Tequila Cowboy if they tell Curtis to keep his clothes on.
That's right. You wouldn't
I'll
take that.
I'll defend his honor immediately.
He can take pictures wherever he wants.
Right.
Of whatever he wants.
Well, he does.
Now, he said, because remember Todd Haley, if anybody was ever injured, well, we're only going to talk about players that are here. We're not going to comment on injured players. I have a terrible Todd Haley
impression. No, you're great.
I have a bad Todd Haley impression. Yep. But so is he not allowed to talk about himself now? If he's got an injured hip, I can't talk about myself.
I don't know.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. There's no fudge room.
I don't know.
Nude photos, man, they always seem to get out, don't they?
Do they?
I mean, it seems like they do.
I mean, I don't know. What are you talking about?
I've never taken one, but like, well, I mean, look. Like,
what are you asking me for? How can I confirm it?
Well, you've seen a lot of nude photos in your day.
Haven't we all? what is he talking about?
Justin Verlander, you know, all these famous people, they thought they were taking nude photos just for their loved ones, and they get out there, you know?
I don't think Justin Verlander was trying to keep that under wraps. I mean, he was proud.
He was sending it to one person.
Right, well, I don't know.
And somebody hacked into that. His phone got hacked.
You know, some of these celebrities do that on purpose for publicity.
Some of them.
Right.
I don't think Justin Verlander was doing that for publicity. I think he was trying to remind his lady what was he waiting for?
What the hell are you talking about? Let's talk to Robert Mays from The Ringer, who writes about the NFL. We spent some time, Robert, trying to get to the bottom of what the hell's going on with former Chiefs head coach Todd Haley and his wife. At a bar called Tequila Cowboy. Any thoughts on what may or may not have happened?
I haven't even heard about this.
Right. Well, you know what? You should, because Todd Haley, first, it was reported that he was pushed down New Year's Eve and injured his hip. Then the police reported it was actually his wife that got into a scuffle. And anyone that may have spent time around that couple in Kansas City would not be surprised by any of those reports. And now there's a new report that perhaps some old naked pictures surfaced and that started the scuffle. You know what? You just got to – it's the deep analysis of possible playoff opponents. That's what separates this show from others. See?
God, right? This is a fun time of year. I'm sure teams love when they get to buy for this exact reason.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right.
Meanwhile, Bill Belichick's going to make his players drive to practice in 8 feet of snow, possibly.
So what? Get them ready. All right, let's talk about the playoffs, getting ready for the playoffs. The Chiefs will host the Tennessee Titans on Saturday afternoon. And as we have been reminded repeatedly, the Chiefs have not won a home playoff game since the 1993 season, when Joe Montana led them to an overtime victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you tell me what you think. Are the Chiefs going to end that streak and finally win another home playoff game?
I think so. I mean, I just don't think the Tennessee's a very good team. I feel like the Chiefs are just playing better than them, and the Chiefs are playing pretty well right now. So, I mean, if the field was going to break a certain way, I think it broke the Chiefs' way in this case. Both of the teams that could have made it, I think Baltimore and San Diego, Baltimore and the Chargers were a bigger threat. I mean, they were just a bigger threat in the AFC, period, than Tennessee would have been. So, yeah, I'm definitely picking the Chiefs for sure.
If there is something about the Titans that should scare the Chiefs, what is it?
I think it's kind of the formula you saw last week in Jacksonville. I mean, I know that Alex Smith isn't the type of quarterback who's as liable to turn it over as much as Blake Bortles is, but they've got some talent in their front four. You know, Brian Arakpo can affect the game. Jarrell Casey's a good player. So if you get some push with those guys, you know, guys like Kevin Byard are opportunistic. He led the league in their interceptions. He's really just a force back there taking the ball away. So if they can get some pressure, take a couple balls away in the passing game, that's, I think, their only shot. And the other side of it is that their running game hasn't been very good this year, you know, but Derrick Henry can still make a big play here and there, and we know how terrible the Chiefs' run defense is. So the Titans are going to run it 30-ish times. And if they can get one or two against the run defense that's been pretty bad all season, I think that's the formula. A pick or two, a big sack, maybe a strip sack, and a decent day on the ground.
All right, for the Chiefs, if they win this game, they will go on the road to either play the Steelers or the Patriots. It's been interesting because every guest that I've asked, and I've asked people around here, what team would you rather play? It's been somewhat divided, but a lot of people are saying Pittsburgh, even though the Chiefs have had a tough time with Pittsburgh. Now, last year they lost in the playoffs to Pittsburgh. This year they lost to them. But both of the games came right down to the wire, and the Chiefs just didn't make enough plays at the end. They have that victory over New England to start the season. And for me, I just feel like it's incredibly tough to beat Tom Brady at home twice in the same season. And I feel like at some point the Chiefs will get over the hump against Pittsburgh because they've been right there. The games have been close, and Antonio Brown may not be available and certainly won't be 100%. So if you are a Chiefs fan, if they beat Tennessee, who should we be rooting for in that Buffalo-Jacksonville game? What game, what matchup do you think the Chiefs should hope to get in the second round?
This may seem odd, but I think that they have a better chance against New England. I just feel like they're a better matchup for New England because I think the Chiefs' best hope in the postseason is for Kareem Hunt to have a big day and for them to kind of mix in one shot to try to kill. I think that the Chiefs' formula should be exactly the type of game we saw against the Chargers a few weeks ago. It's Kareem Hunt just making a ton of stuff happen on the ground. You mix in one deep shot to Kareem or to Tyreek Hill, or even if it's Albert Wilson, one ball over the top that can really change the complexion of the game. And on the other side, you need Justin Houston to have a big day, and Marcus Peters to do something, make something happen in the passing game. I think that's the formula. I think that is more realistic against New England than I think it is against Pittsburgh. I think that New England's defense has been good in the red zone, but still is pretty shoddy elsewhere. You know, I feel like the Steelers, their run defense is not as good as it was early in the season, but still better than New England's. So I just think that it's a better matchup for the Chiefs to play the Patriots, even though I don't necessarily think that the Patriots are a lesser team than this.
So that obviously all hinges on the Bills-Jags game. What do you think of that matchup, and how much of a shot do you give the Bills to pull off that upset?
Depends on a couple different things. If LeSean McCoy doesn't play, I'm not sure what they'll be able to do on offense. And that passing defense is just so good for Jacksonville. And I'm not sure that they have the bodies on that Bills team to really threaten them whatsoever. On the other side of the ball, it's a Blake Bortles thing, man. And we've seen this over the last 2 weeks. He's enough to torpedo all the other talent they have on that team. And I feel like there's really just no telling which version of him you're going to see. And that's the scariest part about all of this for the Jags. I mean, as much as they want to game plan the right way, get him some open throws, keep him upright, everything else, there is still that possibility that he's going to make one or two plays in a game that completely sabotage the rest of what you have as a roster. So I feel like that's kind of the lingering element in all of this. If he has a decent game, I'm not sure how the Jags could possibly lose to Buffalo, but that's no guarantee by any stretch.
And I'm with you on Jacksonville. And for me, of these four teams in the opening weekend in the AFC, I really think the Chiefs are the only team that have a good chance or any chance, really, of advancing to the AFC Championship game. I love Jacksonville's defense, but I just – I I have a hard time thinking that Blake Bortles' quarterback team can win at Pittsburgh or at New England, so I'm with you there. But on the other side, in the NFC, I feel like any one of these four teams can get hot and go all the way to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Hardest for me with Carolina right now, because I am losing faith by the week in what Carolina can do on offense. I feel like their passing game just has not found its footing whatsoever. It looked like they found a little something against Green Bay. They're using Greg Olsen a ton, McCaffrey out of the backfield, kind of easy middle-of-the-field connections that we just haven't seen in the last couple of weeks. I still feel like they put so much on Newton with the difficulty of these throws, how downfield most of their route combinations are. It's really tough to be good in that offense as a quarterback. And when he's a little bit off, it's kind of disastrous. I mean, he played about as poorly as you'll see Cam Newton play against Atlanta. So that element, I feel like, is the weakest piece of any roster in the wild card round in the NFC. So the other three teams, absolutely. I feel like Atlanta's offense still has enough, and their defense has these game-changing guys on it. I mean, Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, even Grady Jarrett to a certain degree, they can make a play that can swing a game. I mean, they have the speed and kind of explosiveness on defense that makes them problematic and really makes them volatile in a way that becomes interesting when you combine it with a pretty steady, if not spectacular, offense. In New Orleans, you find me the weakest in this New Orleans team. They don't stop the run that well because they're kind of small on defense. That's the end of the list for me. That offense is so dang good. They're so complete. They're healthy. So, I mean, they're scary as anybody. And the Rams are maybe the hottest team in football. So I think those three, I can make that argument. For Carolina, it's tougher for me.
I mean, and as currently constructed, with the Eagles missing their starting quarterback, I'm kind of curious what you think. Like, who is the best team as they are currently constructed in the NFC? Is it the Saints?
I think it's the Cardinals. Excuse me, the Cardinals. I'm just reading the Cardinals. It's not the Cardinals, if you're curious.
Okay. Yeah, they're not
I
in
think
it.
It's the Vikings.
The Vikes?
I think it's the Vikings. And I think that for a couple of reasons. And, you know, you understand there's that Case Keenum factor, but at a certain point, you are what you are. And their ability to move the ball in the passing game has been remarkable. I think they've constructed that offense very well. They've done a really good job of not allowing schematics to take away either of their wide receivers. They've used play action a ton to really give Keenum some available throws. They've run the ball well enough to make that play action a real threat. So the construction of that offense, I feel like, is enough to kind of write them in as what they've been. I mean, according to Football Outsiders, they're the fifth most efficient offense in football. That's what they are. I mean, it's 16 games in. There's no reason to keep doubting that. And then you go to the other side of the ball. They're the hottest defense in the league. You know, according to weighted metrics, they were the best defense in football near the end of the season. And you look at that unit, there is not a single below-average player on that entire defense. And they're all healthy. They missed a combined like five starts or something from their two deep on defense this year. I mean, it's remarkable just how steady they've been and how they can take over games. I mean, they were the number one scoring defense in the league this year. And the reason we don't talk about that is because the offense is such a good story with Keenum and all that weirdness. So I just think right now, the fact that you can point to a path where they never have to leave Minneapolis,
right,
and they might be the strongest roster in this conference, it's hard to pick anybody else at this point for me.
They win three home games, they're the world champs, which is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy. And it's not dissimilar to what it felt like for me in Atlanta last year. I mean, obviously they have to go to Houston, but they're still on that hot, they're still on that fast track inside after playing two home games. And, you know, the Falcons needed an Aaron Rodgers-shaped magic bullet to beat the Cowboys. The Vikings don't need that. I mean, they need a better team to beat the Eagles right now for them to not leave home. So it's not even a stretch to trace that path whatsoever.
Now, you also, you see the Vikings are the best team in the NFC. You wrote about the guy that you call the best player in football, Aaron Donald, who will be on display this weekend. And I just retweeted that for any of our listeners that want to read that. Tell me about how Aaron Donald became the most unstoppable player in football.
I think that if you look at Aaron Donald, and I was in the Rams locker room last week, and it's weird to talk about these guys physically without feeling kind of creepy. But if you look at Aaron Donald, he's just not shaped like a human being. I mean, he literally looks like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then you look at what his combine numbers were. And it speaks to it. I talked to Marshall Yanda, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, probably. And he can list off Donald's combine stats. I mean, it's stuff of folklore. It's kind of crazy. So you think about the physical talent, and that really gives teams no good plan to go against him. You know, he's going to run you over if you set him for speed. He's going to go around you if you try to account for him bull rushing you. And that's fine. I mean, that combination is enough to make you very, very good when you have his physical skill set. But what makes him so dangerous is that he just has this feel for the game where he'll do things that are actually kind of against the rules in the defense. He'll jump into gaps that aren't his. He'll be able to kind of stutter step and move around you in a way that most defensive tackles can't. So it's just his way of feeling what you want to do to him and negating it instantly that kind of makes him unstoppable. Because what teams will try to do is they'll try to shift the center his direction. And when they do that, he's able to jump between the center and the guard so quickly that they actually can't double-team him. So there's no good way to account for him. And, you know, we use the word unstoppable a lot, but when you don't have a real plan, that's actually what happens. He's become literally unstoppable.
So you're picking all four home teams this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, I'm picking those. I feel like the team with the best chance for an upset is probably Carolina just because of the upside, even mm-hmm. though if I think the Saints are much better. And I do think Atlanta has a path to beating the Rams, you know, if they can make a big play defensively. I think that, you know, Goff has been very good this year, but he's still liable to give you one or two, you know, if you let him. So I think that those two teams to me have the better shot, but I still think that, you know, I would bet the Rams and the Saints supreme comfortably in either case.
All right, Robert, the big topic in Kansas City, amazingly, considering we're getting ready for a playoff game, more than the playoff game, has been the performance of the backup quarterback, Patrick Mahomes II, in his debut against the Broncos. I'm just curious if you have any strong opinions after getting a glimpse of him last weekend.
No strong opinions, similar opinions to the ones I took into the season and after watching him in college. After the first time I kind of really dug into his tape, I said that Patrick Mahomes wasn't a quarterback. He was a guy doing like a thought experiment on the idea of playing quarterback. I mean, I've never seen somebody play the position like that. And you see elements of that last week. I mean, he's scrambling around back there. He often has no use for the pocket, but he's so undeniably talented. And I think you saw a little more refinement than you would have earlier in the season. So I'm of the opinion, just because of economic reality, that he will be the quarterback of the Chiefs next year. And I think that that's something you should feel okay about. I mean, the guy is so undeniably talented. And I think with Andy Reid, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on it. I think some people think if you are in favor of the Chiefs trading Alex Smith in the offseason, it means you don't like Alex Smith. I'm an Alex Smith fan, but I think what you said, for saving money, for acquiring draft picks, for the overall financial, you know, maximizing what you have as a team, I think it's the right move. I'm curious what you think. I'm hearing a lot of misreactions on what Alex Smith would bring on the trade market. Considering the year that he's had, if he goes out and plays decently in the playoffs, what do you think he could bring in return?
Tough to say, just because of the salary. And I'm not sure what teams are going to be willing to pay with draft capital, just because he's making $20 million a year. And there's a chance in this current quarterback market that teams kind of look around and say, you know what, $20 million is fine. And that's possible. But it's $20 million also for a 30-something quarterback, a mid-30s quarterback, who has a defined ceiling that even if he has played well this season, you know, we've seen a lot of in the past. So I could see it being a little bit more tepid than you would assume, just because of how rabid teams are for quarterback play. You know, if you get, I don't know, this is always so tough. You told me Jimmy Garoppolo is going to go for a second-round pick. I would have called you insane. So anything, I think if a team was willing to give up a second-round pick for him, and he's making $20 million, I'm not sure the Chiefs would say no to that, or if they should.
What did you think Garoppolo was worth?
Oh, at least a first, maybe two. I mean, I just thought he was good.
I mean, and it looks
simple.
It looks like they stole him now. After watching him,
it's not like they stole him. They absolutely stole him. I mean, the only bad thing that took place for them in the last month is that now, after watching him lead the league in scoring over the last month of the season, I mean, his market is ridiculous. I believe that there's no way he'll get out of San Francisco. You know, that team is $116 million. I mean, they will pay him what they need to. But I think that number is drastically different. If you thought he was going to be your quarterback of the future, you probably should have started those conversations the day you traded him. But I'm assuming that Jimmy's agents probably weren't big on that because you want to see what he can do. And there was no chance that he was not going to play a little bit down the stretch. So I feel like that was kind of a weird game of chicken that, you know, didn't work out for the Niners in one way. But if you're going to get him for 28 instead of 22 and you had to pay a second-round pick, I think it's going to work out fine.
All right, Robert, finally, now that we have the playoff matchups, we're just 2 days away from the first playoff game, who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Oh, man. I'm picking Pittsburgh and Minnesota. I think Pittsburgh's a better team than New England. I really do. And the Todd Haley craziness aside, I just think that right now, looking at that Pittsburgh team, and I know that they have some issues defensively, and I am kind of worried about how they would deal with New England again in the passing game. I think they did a very good job last game, but it was also kind of one of those things where when Rocky came out fighting left-handed, or right-handed, excuse me, I mean, when they came out in man against the Patriots last time, I mean, that's one of the first times they've done that. So I think that now with that on tape, you know, maybe New England game plans differently. I just feel like with Pittsburgh's offense at this point, if Brown comes back, and I assume that he is, you have this group of three guys that can really just take over a game. I mean, Juju is not a role player anymore. I mean, what he can do is kind of crazy. I mean, the guy affects the game from the slot. He led the league in yards per route run from the slot this year, ahead of Adam Thielen and Keenan Allen. He's not just some guy. I mean, he can take over. And when you consider the other two guys on that offense are Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, it's really difficult to deal with. And I just feel like Roethlisberger's played too well down the stretch to ignore them. If that game was in Pittsburgh, I would pick them without any hesitation. I just think that you think when you consider Roethlisberger's road troubles over the years and how good New England's been at home, that's what gives me pause a little bit. But I still just feel like the Steelers are a better team than the Patriots right now.
Robert, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is Robert Mays. You can follow him on Twitter. Robert Mays is his handle, staff writer for The Ringer. I just retweeted his latest article about Aaron Donald, calling him the best player in football. You can watch Aaron Donald and the Rams this weekend. They are certainly going to be a handful. But when you look at those two games, I know the Saints look like they are built for a run to the Super Bowl, but nothing would surprise me out of those two NFC games. I would not be shocked if the Rams or the Falcons won. I'm picking the Rams, but you're talking about a team that was a quarter away from winning the Super Bowl last year. They are extremely dangerous with the best wide receiver, or one of the best wide receivers in football, and so they can win. The Rams look good. The Saints look terrific, especially at home. But Carolina, I'm going to pick the Saints, but that wouldn't surprise me if Carolina won. And I do think any one of those four teams would have an excellent chance of pulling the upset against a Nick Foles-led Eagles team. And I know the Vikings look good, but Case Keenum. If I'd have told you that Case Keenum was the guy, those were the two quarterbacks that were leading the 1-2 seeds in the NFC, people would have thought I was crazy, with good reason. But he's playing very well. The playoffs, it's different. I'll be rooting for the Vikings, though. They've been through a lot of heartbreak. And the Vikings should root for the Chiefs for a rematch of Super Bowl IV. Thank you.
This Adam Thielen guy is my most intriguing player of 2017. I didn't know who he was.
Oh, he's a stud.
And he is unstoppable.
We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.